Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful.
because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know that he is able this morning. Hallelujah. To do all that we need to have done and more. We're grateful unto him for the beginning of this new year. And we are thankful that he has brought us up until this present time. Yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not promised. So we taking it easy. We're running this race with patience. And we're not putting the cart ahead of the horse. We taking our time to be quick to hear, slow to speak. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Over and over and over again. And I am thankful unto him. I didn't make it to Kissimmee. I did, I guess, what they call a stay vacation. I stayed home and got some things done. I had so much going on. My goodness. My daughter-in-law was sick. I'm talking about sick. My son, my granddaughter, oh my goodness. It was like a domino effect. The son and the granddaughter had the same thing. Our uncle and the niece both had the same thing going on. One was in a hospital in Texas. The other one was in a hospital in Jacksonville. Yeah, staycation, Brother Louis. And so the Lord bless. You know, I took time to pray and different things. And, you know, God moved, looked at the book of Jude. We're going to talk about him this week. And, you know, many different things. The Lord moved for other people. Because the phones continued to ring and things. Some of them I could answer. Some of them I didn't get to. But nonetheless, I thank God for being faithful. Open doors and making ways for us. Because he's that kind of God. And he's on our side today. In spite of us. Yeah, he's looking beyond our fault. And yet meeting our need. But what we got to have today is hope. Faith and hope. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, we hope, we have great hope in our God because he's almighty God and have all power. There is no higher power. Hallelujah. I was sick. That was before day Sunday morning. I'm talking about, woo, it was rough. But nonetheless, I called on the name of Jesus, called Shantae. I say, pray for me. She began to pray. I began to call on the name of Jesus, and I instantly got released. I was sweating like I was being poisoned. And I sweated it out and everything. And when I noticed the thing, I had passed out to sleep. And when I woke up, I wasn't in no pain or nothing. Felt so much better. I got up, took an Alka-Seltzer, drank me some water, and just didn't eat a lot yesterday. I think I had a teaspoon of applesauce. I ate a little bit of mango, and I had a sandwich and a fourth of a glass of orange juice for lunch. That was it. And the rest of the time, water drinking, water drinking. And the knee feeling better, he shot it. I lost about 9 pounds. And you can even see the difference. Hallelujah. Clothes fit better, shoes fit better. God is blessing. And I want to stay in the blessing plan. Hallelujah. Yeah, I want to stay with the miracle working God. Nothing too hard for him to do. So listen, today we have Pastor H.B. Charles of Shiloh Metropolitan Church right here in Jacksonville. It's located over on one of the main streets. We call it Beaver Street. And as you go on out, you'll see that it's called Highway 90. And they tell me Highway 9 to take you all the way into California. So we're going to take a listen to him today and let the Lord move us and lead and guide us in the right path. And, you know, Sister Jerry wrote me something this morning that is so true, which is her prayer. And that is this. We got to not just hear the word, but we got to be doers of the word. We must apply this word unto our everyday life. Walk according to his word, the very best that we can. Yeah. Because even James taught us this over in the book of James. You know, don't just be hearers or don't just know his word, but be doers of his word. Because this is what blesses us when we obey the word of God. Yeah. And then we are all right in Jesus' name. Brother Mike had me at a knee operation. And he said that thing was rough. Ooh, yes, Brother Mike. Yes, he sent me some pictures, y'all. Oh, yeah. Oh, he said it's better, but it's still swollen. And they told me sometime that knee surgery is a bad thing. It's rough. It puts you down. And I know what it feels like not to be able to walk, not to be able to, you know, do what you normally would do. But that knee hurt so bad until, for me, I felt like if they cut that knee off, I'd have been in better shape. I'm not joking. That's how that thing was hurting. And but they gave me something called Tramadol. And they gave me something that's called Celebrex. What Celebrex is the anti-inflammatory, and Tramadol was the pain medication. And the both of them together, it helped my knee. It helped me not to have all that pain. Now, every now and then, it still would hurt. I took it and put it up on a pillow, put the pillow behind my knee and reclined, and that would help. But I had to keep it covered. Because the least little wind hit it, oh boy, I felt like I wanted to cut the knee off and throw it in the garbage myself. So I can look at that thing, Brother Mike, and tell that was very painful, very painful. And probably still is. So you're going to have to take it easy. And it may take a while to heal, so don't try to rush it. Because there's not a whole lot you can do with it. It have to do it on its own, you know. I mean, you probably have to go back to the doctor and whatever he told you to do, try to exercise it or whatever. But even in that, you want to take it easy. Ooh, that don't look good at all. But we know God is able. And we know that he is able to heal. And thank God for Kim, Brother Mike. Thank God for Kim being there with you because I know she's taking good care of you. And, you know, you can take it easy. Yeah, because that looks painful. Ooh, wee. And I know that's not easy to deal with, you know. But we praying for you that God would heal it up properly, heal it 100%, make it better than it was before you ever went to get, you know, it replaced or fixed. Yeah. Okay, Brother Mike. Yes, sir. Ride it till the wheels fall off of it. Yes, let her take good care of it as long as you can. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Okay. Yeah, so we thank God this morning that he's in the healing business. And just take it easy, Brother Mike. It's going to be all right. It's already all right. In Jesus' name. And that's my prayer, that I don't do the operations. Now, I've seen people that go in and have that operation and spring right up out the bed and just keep right on walking. But I said, if I go and have the knee operated on, it'll probably be 2 years before I get right. Yeah. But my doctor, he don't recommend it for me. He recommend me getting the weight off. And he shot it with the cortisone. But that really didn't help. I think that cortisone shot this time, it made that right knee worse. Now, the one I got in the left knee almost 20 years ago, it held up a long time. And that knee is holding up. And he sent me to get a knee brace. So they measured me and gave me a knee brace. I can't wear the thing because I don't know how to, he showed me how to put it on, but again, I don't know how to put the thing on. So I already had a brace. It wasn't a custom-made one, and I put that one on, and it got better for me, and I do what I can do. I can't do a whole lot of mopping, sweeping, standing, all of that now, but I can walk, you know, and so I'm grateful unto the Lord for that, yeah. And he's able to see us through. Hallelujah. Over and over and over again. And this morning for our morning devotion scripture, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And so I'm going to a song of the morning. And after this song, we're going to come back with our scripture reading for today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is. Not next week. Not after you get something from God, then you believe it in God. No, it's before you receive. We have great hope, huge hope, big hope in our God. He's Almighty God that have all power. There's no higher power. Oh, yeah. Hope has caused me in God to get many things I wanted. Hope in God has gotten me many things I wanted. Yeah, when I wanted the new car, the new truck, when I wanted the house, when I wanted summer clothes, then winter clothes, summer shoes, when I wanted to travel, I wanted hope in God is what got it for me. Thank you, Brother Louis. Yeah, we got to have hope in him, faith, believe in him. Don't let nothing deter you from believing God, believing what his word says. Because again, this morning, we got to walk according to his word. We got to live out his word. We can hear it. We can know it. But unless we do it, I don't know what to tell you. When I put the word into effect, this is what blesses me. Walking according to his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, Apostle Duncan. I'm coming at you shortly. Give me one song here, and I'm coming right at you, right at you. Yeah, we thank God this morning, and we're grateful unto him. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one, and when we come back, we're going to come back with our scripture reading. First, we're going to bring Apostle Duncan in, and then we'll come back with our scripture reading.
With our arms open wide. spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Luther Barnes this morning, and Holy Spirit, hallelujah, fall fresh upon me. We need it daily, hallelujah, so we can walk upright daily before God. Oh, it's all right this morning in Jesus' name. All right, Apostle Duncan's coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you, woman. How are you?
God bless you, woman of God. Happy New Year. I thought I was going to have to get on the plane and come to Florida to get you. Glory to God. Barbara Mack, I've been calling you, and I'm like, Lord, where is Barbara Mack? He said, go on the radio. I said, okay, God. So I said, Lord, what time is it? Let me look and see what time. I said, she on the air now. How you doing, woman of God? God bless you.
Can't complain this morning.
Amen. When you come off the air, call me. I need to talk to you.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah, but it's so good to hear your voice, and I heard you talking about your weight and stuff, and we'll talk about that. I'll share some things with you concerning that. But it's so good to hear your voice. I said, Lord, I'm going to have to get on the plane to go to Florida and find Barbara Mack over there, somewhere in that house over there, somewhere.
Yes.
But now because I see you've been going through. But nevertheless, God is a healer, woman of God. You hear me? Yes, he is. And I give him praise for all the things that he's doing in our lives. Glory to God. I have a whole lot of complaints, but I won't complain because he's been too good. You hear what I'm telling you? Glory to God. There's a time and a season when you got to know that the battle is not yours. And sometimes you just got to hold your peace and let the Lord fight for you. And that means you have to get out of God's way. Because God can't fight if you're in the way. Glory to God. Amen. And we've been in some battles. We've been in some wars. But every time we come out econdo, we come out in victory. Because I'm learning how to get out of God's way so God can work it out. He said, I'll work things out for your good. I don't care how bad it may seem. But you know this. Glory to God. God gave me a word, and I'm going to let you go because I got to get ready to go myself. But in the book of Acts, it talked about how Peter talked about how our sons and daughters would prophesy. Now, I don't care what your sons and daughters may be looking like now. And, you know, we got a lot of sons walking around with their pants hanging down, and that's okay. We got a lot of daughters out there doing things they don't have no business doing. But those same daughters and those same sons that you're looking at that's not serving God, God said those are the ones you're going to call in. Glory to God. They're going to take over the Ikaba. They're the next generation that God's going to use, glory to God, with a great testimony. And I heard God even said this morning, he says, listen, don't worry about it. Things are getting ready to change for your children. Glory to God. You know, we just come out of the apostolic prophetic prayer room, and the next 3 days we're in revival. But he said, listen, don't worry about it. Your kids are about to come out. Whatever they're going through, whatever they're doing, glory to God, hold on. Woman of God. God said he's getting ready to bring them out. They're coming out. Glory to God. And it won't be long. Praise God. Mm-hmm. God going to bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light. Watch God, woman of God, because his word cannot lie. He said our sons and daughters will prophesy. Glory to God. And old men's, glory to God, will have dreams. I don't know about you, but I've been dreaming some stuff here for the past 4 months. Glory to God. You hear me? And even my grandson, the one we've been going through, glory to God, came to me and said, the Lord began to show him visions. I said, do it, Holy Ghost. See, God got visions for our young people. Glory to God. And they might not be able to share with you right now, but let me tell you, so when they open up their mouth and begin to show you what God is telling them, know God is drawing them closer. So you stay on your faith, stay in the prayer closet, stay in the word, keep fasting and praying and trust God. So God, I heard the woman of God say, it won't be long, you're going to bring them out. Glory to God. But this generation, the enemy is trying to overtake them. But guess what? He can't overtake them because the word of God cannot lie. He said, listen, he was going to save our whole household, and I'm standing on the promises of God. Do you hear me? Glory to God. And they're coming out. So be encouraged today. Amen for your young children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, no matter what they look like. That is not the future. The future is this. Glory to God. They're going to look like men and women of God, and they will prophesy because the seed of the power of Abraham is in them. that come from the inheritance of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the seed was in them when it was crossed over from their father into the mother's womb. Glory to God. So the devil couldn't steal the seed. The seed is still there, Bobby Mac. So don't you worry about it. God bringing them out. Glory to God. Amen. They're coming out, woman of God, and they're coming out prophesying. Glory to God, and preaching and teaching the gospel, because we instilled the word in them. We took them to church. Glory to God. And it seemed like, wait a minute, that you mean Tim, all that church we don't took them to? No. Mm-mm. The word is in them. Not thee thy mouth. And God's going to use them. Glory to God. So you don't worry about it. Glory to God. Just watch God and see what God's going to do for this next generation. Glory to God of our young people. Amen. Just want to encourage you today. Glory to God. God is just moving. So what's going on? How's the radio? Sound like y'all doing good over there with the radio station. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Everything going good. And I tell you this, Apostle Duncan, exactly what he said is coming to pass. I got two. I saw him brought out right quick. I'm talking about so quick. My mouth was left hanging open. And the daughter, he had told me, watch what he do in her, in her 30s. And she had passed 33. And I'm looking, you know, like, well, Lord, you said, you know, he said, watch. She called me one day.
My.
Called me straight up preaching. I wanted to say, well, what's going on? But I couldn't, already knew. And every day she called me. And called me the other day and told me my son, the bishop in Kissimmee, she said, I got a word for him. He ain't going to like it. She said, but I got to obey God. Called him and told, prophesied, told him what God told her to tell him. And when she called me back, she said, now, you know he didn't like it. I said, well, we knew he wasn't going to like it. She said, but it's off me and off him. And if you don't do what God said, just prepare your heart now, because what God said is going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Well, it's nothing I can do about it, because good or bad, I accept what God allows. See, I'm better off now if I accept what God said. Hallelujah. Warning comes before destruction. And then he sends a warning, and you just accept whatever he said. Because if you disobey, this is witchcraft. Yeah. And so the devil, he can do some things because you're in a place of disobedience. Oh, but when we're in a place of obedience unto God, nothing, no calamity shall come nigh our dwelling. No calamity.
My Jesus.
I don't care what it is. I done been out there. I done been in this. I done been in that. No COVID, no nothing else. Why? No calamity shall come nigh my dwelling. Yeah, my faith and trust in God is what keeps me whole. Hallelujah.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Unto him. But yeah, everything is good. Apostle Duncan, that oldest boy, he's talking to him. God healed his body right quick. And he drove back from Texas to Washington State. I said, look at him. He told me, I caught a plane so far, and it was such a trauma and all of this with the plane rides until I just rented me something and drove on back home. He said, right now I'm two
Praise
hours
God.
Away from home. God is faithful. Got another friend that said, he had cancer in his eye, and God healed the eye. And they told him, well, we want you to come back because
Glory.
Of prostate. Went back for that. He called the other day and said, hey, this is my last night in the hospital. I said, what you think? He said, I go home tomorrow. Don't worry about me. I said, I would never worry. We just trust God, you see? And we're praying for you, and we just keep moving in him.
That's
because
it.
if I'm going to worry, no need to pray. If I'm going to pray
That's
and
right.
have peace and trust
no
God,
need
no
worry.
Need to worry. Yeah.
That's right.
So
That's
I turn
right.
it over to him and stop worrying about it, and he works it out every time, over and over again. Hallelujah. So thank God this morning. But I'll call you, Apostle Duncan, right after the show this morning.
Okay. Now, what's the best number to reach you on? Because I got a couple of numbers for you. I was calling
you.
Just give me a
643 number.
The 643 number. I'll check it out and see.
Okay. Check it out, and when you call now, make sure you got it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So call
right.
me right after the show. I need to talk to you. It's important, okay?
Oh, okay. All right. We'll do.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. I love you, and be encouraged. Bye-bye.
Yes. God bless you. Love you, too. You be encouraged as well. Apostle Sarah Duck is up out of New Jersey, y'all. I've been up there hanging out with her before, and she have a prayer line in the morning, and I used to go to the prayer lines early in the morning. And when I went to New Jersey over in Newark, treated me like a queen. Then they had me to come back And she took me over to New York and took me to see other pastors, you know, and everything like that. And God just blessed me real good. I don't know why, but me and them northern women, we have a great connection. And we get along real well. Evangelist Teresa Scott, and she's over in Philadelphia. Sandra Jackson, she over in Connecticut. I've been to all these places. Deborah Pittman and different ones, you know, up north. And so, you know, they'll send for me and different things, and I go up their way, and they bless me real good. And I just thank God for it. Went over there with Michelle and had a wonderful time over in Jamaica, New York. Yeah, it was beautiful over there for me. Went to a Jamaican convention. And when I tell you these people believed in dancing, oh, I love it. I loved it. I loved it. And I was just blessed, just blessed. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord this morning for every trial, for every testimony that he has given unto me. Because today I can stand on his word, and after standing, I can stand some more. Yeah, and I told him about that weight because I was up to, listen, 326 pounds. Do you hear me? 326 pounds. That knee was rocking because it couldn't hold all. That was just too much for a knee to hold. Both knees was letting me know, look now, you're going to get some of that weight off me. Do I'm going to have to go on and put you down because I can't keep holding this up. It's too much. The back, yeah. Even my remembering things was going. That was too much. But when I turned it over to the Lord and he began to show me what to do, and then he started off with Weight Watchers. I started off counting points, left the points and began to work another change of eating habits. And now I see the weight just sliding off. And I can't help but tell him, thank you. Exercising in the morning. Listen to this. Couldn't even lift that knee. What? Who knows? Couldn't lift it. But now I'm blessed to be able to do leg lifts, you know, sit in the chair and lift them up, do my side bends, my side twists, stretch. Yeah, all of this is in the chair. But after a while, I'll be able to stand up and do anything I need to do. I just got to obey the word of the Lord and stay. Mm-hmm. Stay stable in it. Don't let the enemy, oh, you can have a piece of pie. No, I can't. Sugar in it. Oh, you can eat two pieces of toast. Nope. I need one piece of toast, a little light peanut butter on that, and I have a half a banana, and I'm good for the day. Lots of water, lots of water. The more water I drink, the more water come out. All of that is pushing the fat out, and I'm losing inches and pounds. Hallelujah. Again this morning, God is faithful. Yes, he is. Yeah, we just got to stay with his plan. Because there's no need for us to go through anything bad if we got him. No hurt, no pain. No, he's a healer. And he told me, I already healed you, but you keep going back doing what it takes to be sick. You keep going back doing what it takes for the knees to hurt. You keep going back eating the cakes and the pies and the fried chickens and all of this. You keep putting all this seasoning on your food to my taste and all of that. Eat to live and not live to eat. I made the vegetable soup with turkey, ground turkey. Ooh, you talking about taste some kind of good. I taste the fresh vegetables in the soup. Yeah. And I got to the place now where I drink the broth off it. You know, just the soup, no vegetables. You know, just kick them to the side. Because I don't want too much in my stomach. Yeah. And I'm not hungry. I'm not walking around hungry all day. I allow myself to get hungry. And I know that it's time to eat. Look at Louis, fried chicken. I should have said it. Love that food. But this morning, before we bring Pastor Charles, H.B. Charles, there's going to be many things coming our way in 2022. Many things will come our way. But say to yourself, the rest of my year is the best of my year. The rest of my year is the best of my year, starting from today on. This is going to be the best year of my life, 2022. is going to be the best year ever because I have faith and hope in Almighty God. That which I can fix, I will fix it. That which I cannot fix, I'm going to put it on the altar and walk away and get out of God's way. See, we pray, put it on the altar, but we'll go back and take it off the altar. We always trying to think of ways we can fix it. When I look at certain things, I know right away, there's nothing I can do with this. So, Lord, you're going to have to fix it. Look, I had gotten to the place where the eating was overtaking me. And I said to myself, you don't want to die. You're going to let food kill you? Food will always be here. Why would you let that kill you? I went to the Lord in sincere prayer. And when he gave the instructions and I followed the instructions, it was like, it was easier than Sunday morning, as Lionel Richards said. It was so easy, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I gave it to him. I decided to follow his instructions. Stop going back eating. For Christmas, I didn't do all of that eating. Thanksgiving, I ate some things, but I gave that food away. I didn't keep it in here with me. My daughter said she had gained, I think, 9 or 10 pounds. I gained 1 pound after Christmas. The doctor was happy, Dr. Moshiri. Now, I done got a lot more off. So when he see me on the 11th, which is this coming Wednesday, he'll be so excited he won't know what to do. Because when he saw I had lost weight, he told me that was the best Christmas present he ever got. To see me lose that weight. Yeah. Because when you can sound strong and you can feel strong, but if you got ailments, you're not that strong because certain things you can't do. I had stopped walking to the mailbox because the knee hurt for me to walk to the mailbox. And I was afraid it might give out on me. I was walking through here one day and it was as if I kicked the knee out. Ooh, it was so painful. Yeah, Barbara, you got to get this fixed. You like running the street too much and doing things. And see, with COVID out here, God bless me that I could do things in here in the house that I really, really enjoyed. And people ask me to come, I tell them no. Because God is not sending me that way. I didn't go to Kissimmee either. Mm-mm. Stayed right here. Prayed. A daughter-in-law went back. They sealed a hole up in a brain, and that stopped the leak in a spine. I called my older son, Lonnie. He was out in the hospital on his way home to Washington State. Yeah. My granddaughter, she's home. You see, greater is he that lives within us than he that is in the world, but we have to back up and give God his business. Move out of God's way. Stop picking it up, putting it down, picking it up, putting it down. Let it go. Because without him, we can do nothing anyway. So in this new year, we're walking by faith, and we have great hope. We have big hope in our God. Almighty God, again this morning, that have all power. And you'll be surprised at how when you let it go and back up out the way, how quickly God fixes it. Because he need us to trust him. And when we trust him, he don't want to disappoint us. Because if he'll move on this, the next time something come up, you'll be able to trust him again. And that's what he want. He want us to trust him. He's a trustworthy God. It's the same God that hang the sun in the sky, the moon. Keep the sun back from the earth, the moon back from the earth. He allow the stars to come out at night. Same God turned winter into spring, spring into summer, summer into fall. The same God that keep us breathing. Yeah, we're not just breathing on our own. He made these bodies, and he made them a certain kind of way to do certain things. We yet can move our hands, our feet. Yeah, we yet can open and close our eyes. We know the difference in touches and feels. I can feel a piece of paper and I can tell you that's paper. I can feel a dollar bill and say that's money. That's a bill right there. I don't know if it's a one, a ten, or a five, but that's a dollar bill. See, he gave us all these things, feelings, emotions. When something hurt you enough, you'll cry. Sometimes something will make you so happy until you'll cry. He gave us all of these emotions. And if he did all of this for us, he has it all under control. The same God that so loved us. He sent his only begotten son. That whoever, it makes no difference who you are, where you come from, what color you are, if you believe on him, you won't perish, but you have everlasting life. We want everlasting life. We want eternal life. We want to go back with God when he comes. We want to live in that mansion. We want to spend eternity with this good God who has taken good care of us. Things come our way, but it didn't kill us. Some of us should have been dead and gone, but he wouldn't allow it. He made death behave. Yeah. Things could be a lot worse than they are for us, but God, he know how much we can bear. Faith and hope this morning. So we're looking at Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 1. And at 8 o'clock, I want to bring Pastor H.B. Charles in. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of it. It's the meat of it. In my book, faith is the everything that I'm hoping for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is because I don't see it, but I believe it. I can't ever tell you I saw God face to face, but I believe him. Not only do I believe, but I know he is Almighty God that have all power. There's no higher power. I know this by my experiences with him. If we look at verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Apostle Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Timothy, all of these people, Peter, John, even on the day of Pentecost, they obtained a good report by faith. Yeah. Because on the day of Pentecost, the promise that God promised them, it came upon them and in them. Now they had the evidence that it was true. What he said, that comforter he was going to send back for them. In verse 3 it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, see, we believe and understand that what we see was not just made by what we see. The chicken didn't come from an egg. God created. The things, the plants, animals, even us, God created. And by faith, we believe the first book of Genesis. We believe really the entire book of Genesis. Because it brings us to a place of understanding that God is, and in the beginning what took place, how we got here, and what we're supposed to do towards God. He had to destroy man because man would not obey. And that's coming up again because man refused to obey God. He wanted to be his way. He wanted to be in charge, and he wants the power. But there's a higher power than man who made man. I hear people talk about the universe. I can't worship and serve no universe when there's a God who made the entire universe. Why would I do with a universe when I can have all power on my side? The universe can only do so much what him who made it allow it to do. Yeah. In verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking. That blood from the ground spoke. Yeah, for Abel. In verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God has translated him, had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's what I want my testimony to be. You don't have to take me from the earth. I can wait until it's my time to be called, to come forth. But if I can just please him and please him daily, whatever I do is to please him. What I do for people, when I make sacrifices for others, it's because I want God to be pleased. Not because I'm looking for something from man, because what I do for man, he'll never be able to do it back for me. I'm looking unto God that you're pleased with my work. And that whoever you sent me to be a blessing to, they are blessed to the fullness of my ability according to your move, not mine. In verse 6, it says, but without faith, here we go, it is impossible to please him. I have to have faith. You have to have faith to please God, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's for us all year long. That's for us for the entire 2022. Is that we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We want to constantly, continually, always seek God. Sometimes we may forget, but when we remember, we repent, go back to him and ask him to help us, that we never forget again to seek him diligently. Lord, don't let me seek the answers to it. Don't let me seek the way to fix it. Let me diligently seek you. You're going to reward me with the answer. You're going to reward me by fixing this problem that I have, that I can't fix. And in some cases, no man can fix. Only God can. Moshe reshot that knee up with cortisone. It didn't work. But when I went to God, and even taking the Tramadol and the Celebrex, it was helping me. But eventually, it was going to harm me. But when I went to God, hallelujah, he did gave me what I needed to have. I needed to have a better diet. I needed to have a better mindset. Eat to live. Don't live to eat. But I had to diligently seek God. I had to depend on him because Barbara could not do it. Food was overtaking me. I was a slave to groceries. Y'all hear me? After the Christmas dinner, my mind told me, well, go in there and make the seafood dressing. The devil is a line of food. Oh, you can have all that crab with all that butter. No, ma'am. No, sir. Well, why won't you make that 7-up pound cake? People want that. No. It's just me here. I make a 7-up pound cake. Who gonna eat it? Me? So as I diligently seek God, as I diligently, constantly, continually, always seek him, he's going to always, constantly, continually reward me. And that's what I want, the rewards of Almighty God. I don't want the rewards of Barbara, because one thing about it, it's like luck. It'll run out. But what we get from God, it will continue. And if he stopped it, that means he has something better for us. But we must believe and keep hope in him. Hallelujah. Hope for it. Today, I hope for money to be a blessing unto others. Because if I had a few million dollars, people would be blessed. Yeah. I would be able to interview and allow God to lead and guide me and buy this person a house. I will be able to interview and allow God to lead and guide me and pay this person home off. Somebody want their children's school tuition paid for college. I will be able to be a blessing. Somebody is going through with a high electric bill. I will be able to come in and make that happen for them. And maybe pay a couple of months in advance. So the electric bill money you were striving for, you can take that and put it somewhere else. Somebody need a little savings account started so that when they get older, they would have a little bit more because the government and Social Security is not giving enough. They say they gave you some money, but then they went up on your Medicare or some other way to get the money back. They say the economy is almost back to where it's supposed to be. No. Folks not working. They're not taking any jobs. All kind of stuff. But with God, we're more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us as we diligently seek him. He's going to reward us. So this year will be the best year. The rest of this year is going to be the best of your year. It's going to be better again. It's going to be the best year because you have faith and hope in God. Not in what we see, not in what the government says, not in what nobody else says, but only what he says. He says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that loves us. We're going to stay right there in those things. I don't care what come our way. It may look like you the tail. But if you hold on to God and stay out of his business, stay out of his way, let him have his way in your life, when it end up, you're going to be the head. You're going to be above and not beneath. Hallelujah. I'm a living witness. But we must sell out to him with our whole heart. Sell out to him with our life. Make him the God of your life. Because he's worthy. He's got the power. Hallelujah. All power. And we're thankful unto him this morning. I'm going to one more quick song of the morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with Pastor H.B. Charles, and his message this morning is something good is going to come out of this. Something good is going to come out of this. Yes, and so be grateful unto him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's go to this one, and we're going to play a portion of it, and then we'll get Pastor Charles right in.
Don't even touch.
Jesus.
It is not my big lock on the door that makes me safe. It's not bars on the window that make me safe. Do y'all hear me today? No, no, no. It's not a security guard at the front gate that makes me safe. It's not the alarm system that I have on the wall that makes me safe. It ain't whatever I got in the drawer next to the bed that makes me safe. Mm-mm, no, I lay down and I go to sleep because I know who my God is. Hallelujah. And because I know who my God is, I can lay down and go to sleep singing to my soul. I got a feeling everything is gonna be alright. Oh, praise his name. I'm finished, church. My heart is full right now. I wish I could get it out of my mouth the way I feel it in my heart. But I just want to tell somebody something good got to come out of this. Because God is real. Because his grace is sufficient. Because his love is everlasting. Because his power is unlimited. Because his wisdom is perfect. Because his name is great. Because his grace is sufficient. Because his strength is perfected. I got a feeling something good has got to come out of this. I've seen the lightning flash. You just gotta let me say it for myself today. I've heard the thunder roll.
Okay, now what did I do? This got to be the same message starting over. Oh, no, it's not. All right, y'all bear with me. I got to find it.
Does anybody here know tonight that this world is not your home? Come on, can I get a witness here? Thinking about a mother who had lived a full life, but she got sick, and all the family came to see her. Children were standing around crying, and friends were standing around crying. But you know what she did? She looked up at those children and she said, "Honey, I don't want you to worry about me." She said, "Don't cry, don't worry, because I got my business fixed." She said, "Anyway, I didn't come here to stay. I'm just a pilgrim traveling through this barren land." Can I get a witness here? She said, "I'm traveling from time to eternity. I'm traveling from earth to glory. I'm traveling from mortal to immortality." And she said, "I want to tell you this. Listen. Oh, they tell me of an endless day where all my troubles will pass away." She said, "Listen, it's just over Jordan." I wish I had some witnesses there. "Swelling tide." She said, "Don't worry about that. I can see Canaan
hallelujah, on the other side. She said this in glory, Lord, in glory. That's where I'll be. That's where
I'll be.
In glory, Lord.
In glory.
Don't worry about me. His face I'll see. No more pain.
No more pain.
My storm clouds. Let me see you wave your hands. Come on, wave those hands. Listen. She said this. Though I'm tempted, and sometimes I'm tried, hallelujah, and sometimes things don't work out right. But you know what she said? She said, but I'll hold on to what I know. Anybody here know Jesus? One day soon, you know what he's going to do? He'll deliver my soul. She said this in glory,
glory.
Come on, wave those hands out there. Come on. That's where.
Would you bow with me again briefly? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask again and afresh that you would open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help us to lay aside all malice, deceit, envy, hypocrisy, and slander, so that as newborn infants we may crave the pure spiritual milk of your word and grow thereby having tasted of your goodness. Grant me physical strength and spiritual energy to speak your word with faithfulness, clarity, authority, passion, wisdom, humility, and freedom. And may Christ alone be exalted as the word is explained, we pray. Amen. My assignment, Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well, recorded in John chapter 4. Hear the word of God, beginning at John chapter 4, verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, left Judea and departed again for Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. He came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, wearied as he went from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, for we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. The hour is coming and is now here. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek, or why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. He said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. Here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. When the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. Amen. This conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well stands out for 3 reasons. First, it is the longest recorded conversation Jesus has with anyone, including his disciples. The sheer length of the discussion between Jesus and this woman at the well highlights and spotlights its significance in the story of Jesus as told by John. Secondly, this story is significant because of the placement of this story. It is recorded immediately after Jesus' late-night conversation with Nicodemus. And in a real sense, we feel as we read through John 3 and John 4, the tension between these two persons with whom Jesus speaks. John 3, the discussion is with a man. The man is named in the story, Nicodemus. He is a religious man. He is a moral man. He is an influential man. Note the contrast in John 4. Jesus now has a conversation with a woman. The woman is unnamed. The highlight of her story is her immoral past. The tension between these two stories remind us as we begin this study of the woman at the well that Jesus came to reach the up and out and the down and out. There is no one, John 3 teaches us, there is no one beyond the need of grace. John 4 teaches us that there is no one beyond the reach of grace. In this story, Jesus presents to us the good news, John that is, presents to us the good news about Jesus Christ. This is the third major significance of the story, not just its length, not just its position in the text, but the message of this story. And the message of this story is that Jesus is the Son of God who has come to save sinners. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we find the purpose of John's gospel. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John chapter 4 ends with one of these signs, verse 46 through the end of the chapter, that declares that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, one of these identifying miracles. Our text is no such sign, and yet it still fulfills the purpose of John's gospel. Here we meet a woman who believes that Jesus is the Christ, who receives eternal life. John begins the chapter by setting the scene. Now when Jesus, verse 1, learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. These opening verses of John 4 draw us back to the latter portion of John chapter 3. Specifically note John 3, verse 25 and 26. Now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John will declare to his disciples that he is not the bridegroom. He is just the friend of the bridegroom. Specifically, he says in verse 30 of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Jesus is indeed increasing as he is baptizing many, though he himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. The tension of the text is that the Pharisees note this. It seems to avoid political religious controversy at this point with the Pharisees. Jesus departs, heads to Galilee. Note verse 4. He had to pass through Samaria. This passing statement has great significance. He had to pass through Samaria. It was a custom for Jews not to take this direct route through Samaria to Galilee because of the ongoing tensions between Jews and Samaritans. In the aftermath of the defeat of the northern country of Israel, as a result of that captivity, the land of Israel was repopulated, and Samaritans, considered half-breeds, populated the land, and this ongoing tension continued even until the day of Jesus. As a result, many of the Jews would take an ultimate route through the River Jordan to get to Galilee so that they would not have to pass through Samaria. Jesus takes the direct route, not just for geographic reason, but Jesus is on a mission. There is a woman he is to meet in Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Before we get to the conversation itself, consider this reference to the humanity of Jesus. The point of John's gospel is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But here, as he sets up this story, John gives us a glimpse of the humanity of Jesus. As a result of his journey, Jesus was weary as he sat at this well. It is a reminder of what we are told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us in our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. Jesus, God in flesh, sits at this well, tired from his journey and thirsty as a result of the heat of the day. Verses 7 through 26 then records the story of Jesus' conversation with this woman at the well. The conversation falls into two major sections. Consider that Jesus gives living water, verses 7 through 15, and then Jesus calls for true worship, verses 16 through 26. The conversation begins with the discussion about water. It's about the sixth hour, says the end of verse 6, noon. It is the heat of the day. Jesus is tired after his journey. And as he rests there, this, verse 7, woman from Samaria came to draw water. Was typically a woman's task to draw water, but they usually in an earlier hour together. Here she comes at the sixth hour, and she comes alone. She is not expecting to meet anyone at this well, but there Jesus is waiting for her. What we are seeing here, friends, is this Jesus, the Son of God, who has come to save sinners. And John shows us in this story that Jesus is willing to cross any barrier necessary to reach the lost. Jesus speaks to the woman first. He says to her, verse 7, give me a drink. The disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and it's just Jesus and this woman, and he asks her for a drink of water. We don't have to guess at the magnitude of this seemingly simple request. It is found in the response of the woman. Verse 9. The woman says to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? This request for water is scandalous on several terms. This is a Jew addressing a Gentile. This is a man addressing a woman. This is a Jewish man asking a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. I repeat, Jesus is willing to cross any barrier necessary to reach the lost. Are we? John tells us the Jews typically have no dealings with Samaritans, as if her response is not enough to show us how scandalous this request is. But note that Jesus shifts in the rest of this paragraph from asking for water from the woman to offering water to the woman. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Here we see what happens often in John, where seemingly simple things take on dual, greater, higher, deeper significance. This starts out as a simple conversation about water, but Jesus has shifted this conversation to something deeper. He calls it, in verse 10, living water. This is more than water that Jacob's well can provide. We will see that this water Jesus offers is salvation water. It is eternal life. Notice how he describes it in verse 10. This living water is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward that you earn by works. It is a gift you receive by God's grace. Romans 6, verse 23 declares that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Salvation is not about what we do for God. It is God's gift of amazing grace to us. He says living water can be your gift. But notice the stipulations, two stipulations he gives her in verse 2. They are in the words new and asked to receive this living water. You must know what the gift of God is. That is, you must know Jesus Christ. John chapter 17. Verse 3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must ask. Hallelujah. Salvation is free for the asking. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 declares, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This living water, Jesus says, is a gift. You must know this gift, he says, and you must ask for this water. This asking is significant because many do not recognize the true nature of their thirst and go looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The great invitation of the Lord is in Isaiah 55. Whoever thirsts can come to the waters and drink. By bread and wine without money and without price. Jesus says that the gift of God, living water, is free for the asking if you will know him. The woman does not understand the magnitude of what Jesus is saying. She is still thinking of water from this well, not the gift of God. And she says, verse 11, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Verses 13 through 15, Jesus responds to the woman by declaring the source of this living water and the nature of this living water. Verse 13, the source of living water, Jesus says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. This is the sense of what we find in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus is talking about heavenly spiritual things. Her mind is on earthly, worldly things. She is still thinking about Jacob's well. Jesus is referring to water that is greater, deeper, higher than this well. And he notes it because whoever, he says, drinks of this water will be thirsty again. This is the reality of all that the world offers. It does not last. What does it profit a man, Jesus said? To gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what in the world can a man give in exchange for his soul? Whoever drinks of that which the world offers will be thirsty again.
Yes, sir.
Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. This is the good news of the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ, the total sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus satisfies the human need, particularly the deep needs of the soul. Whoever comes to him, whoever knows him, whoever asks of him, will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus alone offers living water that is internal and eternal. He offers us the gift of God. He offers us himself. He offers us his wonderful Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. The last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus declares the source of this water himself. Then he declares the nature of this water. It is satisfying water that is eternal life. The woman says in verse 15, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." She responds to what Jesus says in verse 10. She asks, but she still doesn't fully understand what she's asking for. Jesus makes that plain in the next section, the next paragraph, where after offering living water, Jesus calls for true worship. The woman says, "Give me this water." Verse 15. Verse 16, Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." In the previous paragraph, as Jesus offers living water, he now bids this woman to call her husband, reminding us that the good news of salvation, if it is to be enjoyed, must be preceded by us embracing the bad news of sin. For us to recognize what a great Savior Jesus is, we must recognize what great sinners we are. Jesus confronts her right where she lives. Go call your husband and come here. This may be read rather simply. Jesus offering water to this woman bids her to call her husband so that he may partake. But of course, there is a deeper reality here. She knows what's the reality. So she answers, I have no husband. Jesus says, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Here Jesus exposes, confronts, lays his finger on the heart of the problem in this woman's life. He has been trying to find satisfaction in broken sisters. She has had five husbands. She has gone through five marriages, either by death or by divorce. And now the one she is with is not her husband. Jesus confronts her with the reality of her broken life, her sinful past, her sinful reality. She says to him, verse 19, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. This is more than a deflection. This is what the woman will say later, the fellow Samaritans. This is a man who can tell her everything she ever did. The weary Jesus is the omniscient God who knows everything about this woman's life. When she says you are a prophet, this is more than a deflection as a Samaritan. This woman, along with the Samaritans, only held to the first five books, the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. And when she is referring to prophet here, she's not talking about Isaiah or Jeremiah. She is talking about a new prophet like Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. She is waiting for a new prophet, a greater Moses. She is waiting, the one who is to come. Yes, she perceives in this Jesus that prophet. Yes, she shifts the conversation to the place of worship now. Verse 20, our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Can't get around the fact that she is sure enough smooth shifting this conversation from husbands to worship sites, right? He wants to know, where is the place where people ought to worship? Jesus continues to meet this woman right where she is. And he is the hound of heaven that will not let her escape. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Jesus says that the hour is coming where the place of worship will be obsolete. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. He says to this woman concerning worship that ultimately true worship It's not about where you are. And then he says to this woman, it's not about what you think. Verse 23, the hour is coming and is now here. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Hear what Jesus declares. Jesus demonstrates in this very conversation with the woman at the well. She was not seeking God, but God was seeking her. And praise his name that he is still seeking sinners. No one seeks after God, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, but God is seeking true worshipers. Notice the intention of what Jesus says here. The hour is coming. Not only is it coming, it is now here. In John 2, Jesus says to his mother, my hour has not yet come, referring to his crucifixion and his resurrection. But yet, the hour is here. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word made flesh, in the one to whom this woman speaks. The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Father is seeking people like this to worship him. Verse 24. God is spirit. God is spirit. This is one of the great declarations in the scripture about the nature of our God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 declares that God is light. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16 declares that God is love. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 declares that God is a consuming fire. Here, Jesus declares God is spirit. He cannot be confined to your places, to your customs, to your rituals. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. True worship is beyond ritual and ceremony and custom. It is in spirit. God is spirit, and he demands that those who would truly worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Declares that real worship is rooted in a deep personal experience with God that goes beyond going through the motions of ritual. In truth, on the basis of his divine revelation of himself in his word that is the truth and in his son who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying to this woman that worship must be on God's terms, not ours. Why? As Romans 11:36 tells us, for all things are from him and through him and to him. To him alone belongs the glory. Notice how this woman's eyes are being opened. As she talks to Jesus, she says, verse 25, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Again, she smoothly shifts the conversation, punting, saying, the Messiah is coming and he'll make sense of all of this for us. Jesus declares to her, verse 26, I who speak to you, and he. This is one of the unique, clear declarations Jesus gives in the Gospels. He is the long-awaited Messiah King, the Christ of God. He says that I am He, the one you are looking for, you are looking at. The one you are talking about, you are talking to.
Yes, sir.
I am He. Jesus is the great I am. John 6:35, He declares, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, He declares, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, He declares, I am the door. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 15:1, I am the true vine. Jesus is the Son of God who has come to save sinners. If those 7 references with the metaphors attached don't make the point well enough, remember his conversation in John 8:48-59. He is debating with the unbelieving Jews. Remember, they take offense. They can't understand how this young man can talk like this. So they said to him, John 8:57, how are you talking like you know Abraham? He's been dead for centuries and you're not yet 50 years old. Remember what Jesus says in John 8:58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the great I am. He is the blending of deity and humanity. He is the meeting place of time and eternity. He is the intersection between heaven and earth. And when we, like this woman, were in our sin and could not reach up to God, God reached down to us.
Yes, he did. Come on.
He met us where we were.
Come on, preach.
He broke whatever barrier was necessary to claim us by his amazing grace.
Yes, sir.
Oh, brothers and sisters. As we consider the story of this immoral woman who meets Jesus, may we be reminded of the greatness of God's grace toward us. Jesus has met us where we are. He has sought us out. He has provided living water that satisfies the needs of the soul. The rest of the story, verses 7-26, record the conversation with the woman at the well. The rest of the passage, verses 27-42, is the aftermath of the story. Mm-hmm. Jesus declares himself to this woman to be the Messiah. Verse 27 says the disciples come back. And they are shocked that Jesus is talking with this woman. They did not dare ask, what do you see? Or why are you talking to her? While the clueless disciples show up, the woman departs. So eager is she, so overjoyed is she, so overwhelmed is she, that she left her water jar there. Went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Feel the tension between the clueless disciples and the witnessing woman. Her faith is not explicitly, no declaration of faith is explicitly recorded. But in the spirit of a true disciple, she goes into town to witness about Jesus. To the same people who knew her story, the same people who knew her mistakes, who knew her past. She went to be a witness. How could she go and witness to them after what she had done? Oh, friends, this is the heart of the good news. It was not about what she had done. It was about what Jesus had done. She comes to say to them, not look at me, but look at Jesus. Oh, how desperately does the world need us to make much of Jesus? Not our job to advertise our church. It's our job to magnify the Christ. Come see a man. Come see a man. You got to excuse me. I first heard this story as a young child in a black Baptist church. And the preacher, this was where he was trying to get to. He says, when he got here, hear my daddy say, let me use my sanctified imagination. He went to the baker in town and said, come see a man who is the bread of life. Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they all went out to town and were coming to him. Friends, I have to summarize the rest of this story, but what I want you to see, what I want you to take note of, is that John does not end the conversation with the woman at the well with the conversation with the woman at the well. The conversation proceeds into an explanation to his disciples about what he's up to. What we see here is the urgency of the heart of Jesus to reach the lost. And how he bids those who would be his disciples to join him on mission to reach the lost. The good news of who he is. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. He said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus says to his clueless disciples, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Here's Jesus speaking to us today, friends. Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. But here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. One, others have labored. You have entered into their labor. Note verse 39. The woman has stepped off the stage. She has faded into the background, and she goes into Samaria and declares, come see a man. Now verse 39 says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Brothers and sisters, what a joy it is for us to be here together this week, study the conversations of Jesus in the Gospels, to worship together, to fellowship together. But may the story remind us of the mission to which we have been called. May we be reminded that those of us who are recipients of God's sovereign grace must declare this good news with others. Many believed in him because of this woman's testimony. Told me all that I ever did. Now the Samaritans asked Jesus to stay with them for 2 days. As he is with them, many believe because of his word. Verse 42. They said to the woman, who now appears in the final verse of this narrative, the Samaritans say to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. Indeed, friends, maybe you have been invited to this conference this week by someone who knows and loves and trusts Jesus Christ, but you don't know him for yourself. Here is a reminder that you cannot get to heaven on someone else's testimony. Believe for yourself, or as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must trust the good news that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jew, Greek, Samaritan, he's the Savior of the world. Rich or poor, black or white, he is the Savior of the world. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God covered them with coats of skin, yes? Later, at the Passover, as death hit the homes of the Egyptians and slaughtered the firstborn, those who had blood on the doorposts were covered from death. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would make an offering for the nation of Israel, covering them in atoning blood. You missed it. I think I went through that too fast. God starts out with one lamb per person. Then one lamb in the Passover per household. Then on the Day of Atonement, one lamb for the whole nation. But when John saw Jesus coming, he declared, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth, its wisdom, and its authority.
Yes.
Thank you for the gift of your Son, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
Thank you for your amazing grace that offers eternal life to all who believe in Him.
Thank you.
Thank you for the incarnation of Christ and ultimately His crucifixion and resurrection, by which you have reached us who are far away, drawn us to yourself by your sovereign grace. Thank you that you have called us to join the mission of Christ, to be his agents in the world, to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded us. We praise you, Father, that the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth is with us to the end of the age.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tried to go back and get our message of the morning by him, but it was only 2 minutes and 50 seconds long. And I'm like, where's the message? But I thank God for this message today, the woman at the well. And he said some important things there. And I think it was the other day, it may have been Sister Jerry and I talking about it, about you had some husbands, and the one you're with now is not yours. So we know this. He's speaking about a water that's spiritual. And he was telling us if we drink of that water, we'll never thirst again. And that's the water we all have had a drink of. And if we'll continue in him and allow him to continue in us, we'll never be thirsty. Anytime I feel like I want to get high, all I got to do is praise him. Anytime I feel down, all I got to do is talk to him. Hallelujah. Anytime I want more spiritual things, all I got to do is go to him. He's able. He's able. If I want to know what my ministry is, all I had to do was ask him. One thing I know about God is this. When we come to him for spiritual things, he moves. Because he wished that none should perish. And he wants each of his children to carry the message of him. That's called good news. The good news of Jesus. He wants us all to carry that message, carry it out into the world. Sometimes it's the way we live. It's the way we do things. People may come to us and say, you know what, I want to talk to you because I noticed there's a difference about you. You're not like everybody else. They see that light. They see that candle in you that's sitting on the hill that can't be hid. Today I see so many started off with God in a good way. When they started off with him, they meant business, his business. They wanted him to be the God of their lives. They wanted him to be first. They wanted him to move. But after they got on down so far, they decided they can do this. They can lead the people. They can bring more people. They can get more money. They can get more stuff and things from the people. I've heard of people saying, well, we bought him a brand new Mercedes. Now he want us to buy him a house. Well, we bought him a house. Now he want a Rolex. I'm like, my goodness. Because you think you've done something of worth. So you want to be paid for it. And you done heard about other people getting paid and people giving to other people, and you want what they have. But this is the way I believe. And I know God is a good God, and he is in the blessing and miracle working business. Yes, he is. But I believe when we work unto him, only expecting from him. And we don't call ourselves putting a demand on God, talking about what I want and what I've done. I'm not that way. If I deserve anything, I believe God will give it. He don't forget me. He don't ignore me. If I'm deserving of it, he won't owe no man because he believe in paying. And this particular guy, he believe in giving interest on what he paid. When we give to the poor, we're lending unto him. Look at that. And if you lend God anything, he's going to pay you back, and I promise you he's going to give interest on it. I decided coming out of school, I didn't want to do school stuff, but I wanted to do his business full time. He blessed me. I decided I don't want to reach out and bring numbers in. Lord, you add daily to Jesus in the morning, such as should be. You add to Freedom Doors Ministries, such as should be. I don't want to add nobody. Because what you give, it won't bring no sorrow. What you give is good gift. It will always bless me. He gave me Jesus in the morning 12 years ago. I've been blessed every year. I was out them 9 days and felt like I was out for an eternity. Yeah. Many days the enemy have told me, you don't feel well this morning. God understands. But I told him I'll go if I'm sick. It's like a marriage to me with him. It will be until death do us part. I got to die before I leave. I got to die before I stop his work or he come in and tell me this is it. This is all I had over here. A new assignment is starting over here. Because in my world, there is never retirement. If God bless me to live to be 101, I will still be working in some way, somehow, unto him. I believe that. Because until the day he comes back, the harvest will be plenteous and the laborers will yet be few. And we continue to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more vineyards, but we got to remember the labor that he called or chose us for, or called and chose us for. There's always work to be done. What I notice about people, they want God to just give, but they don't want to do nothing for him. And will grumble and complain, murmur and all this stuff over what he asked them to do. Some of them know what they're supposed to do, but that's not what they want to do. It don't bring money. It don't bring prestige. So if he made you an usher, that's not what you want to do. You want to be the pastor. He made you a deacon. That's not what you want to do. You want to be the head person over the finance committee. Foolishness. But whatever he called you to in the end, as you continue to do it, you're going to find out, even before the end, how much you love doing what he chose you for. What he chose me for, I love it. I didn't know in starting off. But as time progressed on, I got to see, that's me right there all day long. Because he know us. I promise he actually know literally how many hairs are upon your head. He know the thought, your very thought. He know the very intent of your heart. We serve a God that's not ignorant. He's not dumb. Nope. He's very wise, all knowing, all power. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Angels bow before him. Heaven adore him. Heaven and earth adores him. We got more than we need if we're willing to use what we got. I promise you it'll get what you want. But we got to use what we got. We have the word. We have the spirit of God. We have his love. He gave us power. But we want to do everything else. We want to look like other people. We don't want to be too radical. We don't want to be too loud. We don't want to, look here, when we go to a football game or a basketball game, baseball game, if your team is winning, I've seen men stand up shouting and shaking and got banners up, all kind of stuff. But when it comes to God, we quiet. Got a little quiet dead ministry going on. But that's not the way he was for us. He allowed his son to be shown after they beat him, where he went to court. They took him from courtroom to courtroom. People got to see him. The same ones he done helped. They beat him all night long, they told me. And then they got to see his blood-stained body, his wounds and everything. They got to see him so weak, carrying his cross up the Calvary's Hill. Everybody got to see. God allowed it. He allowed his son to be humble. Humility was there. But us, we can't let nobody know what we going through. Hey, my big toe hurting. I don't care whether my knee's going bad. Hey, they say I got arthritis in my spine, my back hurting, whatever it is. Somebody pray for me. But when it comes to God, we like to sweep him under the rug. We don't like to demonstrate that he's with us and we are in him. Hallelujah. The studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say, please feel free this morning to press that number one and come in. And Brother Cal, I'm going to play your song today. We're just getting back. But I'm going to play your song today. And while we're waiting to see if anyone has anything they would like to say, I'm going to play your song, Brother Cal.
Little small house, big family, 7 kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord, 'cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud, and I'm gonna take it. I told y'all I'm gonna make it. And when I make it, I'm
inspiring and encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah. I know I saw Brother Jermaine down there, and I saw him press that number one this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, Brother Jermaine, maybe he'll come back. I know I saw him press that one. All right. The studio is open. If anyone have anything they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one this morning and come in. We still have some time. And share with us today. And you may have a testimony or something, prayer request, whatever it may be today, feel free to come in. I thank God for his word this morning, because his word is truly a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. All right, Sister Jared, coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good.
Yes, I'm glad to have you back. I hope this little vacation gave you much-needed rest. And I'm just glad to have you back, and thank you for bringing the word to us this morning. Every word is always a good word, because God is always touching us. He's touching us with knowledge, spirit, and health. So thank you this morning, Sister Barbara, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen. Amen, Sister Jerry. God bless you. And I think it's tomorrow that you said you'd be on 220. Is that what you said?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, 220 tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that a good time tomorrow, or you got plans tomorrow?
No, ma'am. That's an excellent time.
Most excellent.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, let me know. I'll call you with the details and the time, because I got to get my other girlfriend. But we will hook up tomorrow on 220.
Okay. All right.
Like
I
know
you.
Where I'm going, okay? Like I know where I'm going. I have no
well,
idea
she
know
where it is.
Yes,
she knows where
it
is.
Uh-huh. So
but I
just. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Barbara. Love you, and God can
all right.
bless you.
All right. Love you too, Sister Jared. God bless you. So, all right, if no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out, and we will go to our last song of the morning. And y'all keep me lifted up in prayer today. I know it's already all right in Jesus' name as I continue on with good eating habits. Good eating habits. And I thank God for that. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. I'm amazed myself. That's why I keep talking about it. God is faithful. Yes, he is. And I'm so thankful unto him. What about spiritual daughter? She told me, well, go on, get your bathing suit ready for this summer. No, oh, no, sister. No, I'm getting the weight off for health reasons. No, not no show off now. And so we just thank God that he's faithful unto us. Faithful, faithful. Hallelujah. Over and over and over again. And I'm so thankful unto him. And Happy New Year to everyone. I haven't said Happy New Year to. Oh, there you go, Brother Jermaine. Press that number one. We have time. I saw your hand raise, and then I looked, and you were gone. So just press that number one, and I'll bring you right back in. Yeah. All right. Well, let him work that little bit out, and I am going to a quick song. And Brother Marquez, this one is for you this morning. I won't be able to play the entire song, but I'm going to play it until Brother Jermaine pressed that number one. But I'm going to dedicate this one to you and that fat, juicy baby that you got.
Dr. Clark, Twinkie and I were in Little Rock, Arkansas. With Bishop L.T. Walker.
Okay, Brother Marquez, we're going to play it as the ending song this morning. Brother Jermaine has raised his hand. Good morning, Brother Jermaine. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, hey, Sister Barbara. I'm just glad to make it in this new year. I was thinking about you all week. I had actually contracted the COVID. So I was down for a week, but, you know, I praise God that it was actually it turned out to be a mild case, but this particular variant's going through everybody. My whole household basically got infected. And, you know, what's ironic is my daughter appears to be the one that brought it in the house. She plays basketball, but I think she's the only member of her team that's not what they call fully vaccinated. So she caught it from her vaccinated teammates, and all the vaccinated people in my house had the most horrible time with it. So, you know, I think a lot of what you were saying this morning, I was really paying attention to when I hopped on. It's so true. God's the only consistent thing, the only constant we can count on, because, you know, we're finding out everything they told us is flipped on side of his head. Everybody's getting it. And, yeah, I'm just very thankful to have made it through that week. I luckily, my symptoms was mild. I mostly slept 9-10 hours a day, and I had chills, but it was a blessing. You know, I missed you and the show, though, very badly, so I'm glad to be back.
Amen. Yeah, I was away for 9 or 10 days myself, decided to take my little staycation, and I was going to take a vacation, but I figured, with that variant done picked up, you better sit them hips down. So I didn't go anywhere. I stayed home and everything like that. But I thank God that he's able to take care of his people. I have a lady and the uncle brought it, he stayed with his sister, and brought it in the house, and the relatives, children, grandchildren, come over for the holiday for Christmas. Everybody got it and took it home. Some went to see their parents and gave it to them. The in-law parents gave it to them. And one of the mothers is in the hospital real sick with COVID, you see. So we have to be careful out here. And I know they told people to vaccinate, firing people if you don't get vaccinated. But what I'm seeing, like you said, Brother Jermaine, the ones who has been vaccinated, they are getting the COVID and they're having the hardest time and they passing it on to other people. Now, the ones who have not been vaccinated, these are the people that's overcoming. Yeah, my daughter, before she passed away, she had been vaccinated and got COVID and died. Yeah. So we want to be careful. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Use your Lysol. Use the liquid Lysol and your spray in the can. If you can stay away from people, stay away from people. Because this thing is serious. Yeah. It's no joke. It is serious. One of the ladies that caught it, she thought she had something else and wasn't going to the doctor, wasn't going to go to the hospital. And two of the children got together and said, oh, yeah, you going today, Mama. You getting up out of here because we think that's COVID you got. She thought she had something like bronchitis going on. Got there, they swabbed her up and everything, told her, yes, ma'am, you got COVID. Yeah, because she had breathing problems and all this stuff and some other problems, but she was able to come home. But God is faithful to his people. Yeah. He's going to cover us.
Know,
yeah, but we do what we
want to
do.
I was going to say, Sister Barbara, I was going to say that my wife actually had some breathing issues and I almost had to take her to the ER twice. Mm-hmm. And what they did do was, because now they have a few therapies, but I remember when former President Trump had contracted it, and some of the doctors that they don't like, they gave them some kind of available for a lot of other people, and my wife received that, and she felt better instantly. It was almost scary. It felt like she could run a marathon on some of those steroids that they gave her. What helped me out and people I know was overdosing on vitamin D, because I had been paying attention to some of the studies, and a lot of the studies seemed to indicate that the vitamin D level was one of the critical things that was deciding, you know, if some people even went to the hospital or not. Like, you could still get it, but how you dealt with it. But I would suggest everybody take advantage of all the, you know, the relatively cheap things that you can do to improve your immune system as best you can, because it seems to be going through just about everybody.
Yeah. Well, Brother Lewis said 100 milligrams of zinc daily. That should help you to fight it off too. They gave me vitamin D, vitamin C. I had zinc and quinine. Quinine is in, I think it's club water. But I never took nothing. No, none of the vitamins. I just went on about my business and stay away from people. And so far, so good. But I got to just keep people at a distance. And I stay at a distance. But when you're in the house with people, you know, you can't do that sometimes. Because especially with children, you got to talk to them. They got to talk to you. And you're not over across the hall and they over here, y'all yelling back and forth. It can't be like that in the home. So, you know, it's your family. So I understand, but just be careful. And they put the kids back in the schools. And I'm knowing they're not washing their hands and they don't remember and all kind of things. Probably not keeping the mask clean, you know. So you're going to look for some stuff. And they say this has gotten worse, like 3,500 cases overnight in Anchorage, Alaska. Yeah, 3,500 cases overnight. Some places, Washington State, they were saying that people who needed to go into the hospital for other things, there was no room for them because they had so many COVID cases. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm seeing is a lot of these people that they have fired, who was working just fine, but who didn't want to feel like they needed to get vaccinated. Part of the staffing issues is they fired half their employees, and now when people are coming in, there's nobody to see them. And they're so desperate over here. What they're doing is they're telling people, a lot of the workers are releasing internal emails, and they're letting people who have COVID, if you're asymptomatic, they let you come right back into work, mm-hmm. which don't make any sense at all. You got people you fire for not taking your vaccine who don't have COVID who can work. But if you have been vaccinated and you are COVID positive, they're telling some people you can come on in if you're asymptomatic. So this, we're truly going to have to seek the Lord because it's just getting insane out here.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm telling you from day one, we have to seek God on every little thing. Pray, cover yourself in prayer. Cover yourself in obedience unto God, because look, a lot of things being said is not what's being done. And for elderly people, the senior citizens, oh my goodness, I feel so bad for them because nobody appears to care. I was reading an article yesterday where they said that they plan on giving parents another $1,400 stimulus. And if you had a baby last year, this year, the baby get the money. And I'm like, well, what are they going to do for senior citizens? Are they going to think of them? And they said that Social Security would give them $90, but that wasn't true. Some people got $53. Some people got $40. Yeah. And things constantly going up. And then you're charging for Medicare. All kind of craziness. So if you're not covered by God and covered in obedience, I don't know what to tell people. But he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the one who's going to take care of us. Yeah, all of us. Yeah. What you say, Brother Lua? Is it Collidal, Collidal, silver? And he said take a teaspoon, a tablespoon daily. Collidal, silver. And take a teaspoon daily, tablespoon every day. Yeah. So I just thank God. I just thank him for covering me. Ooh, I thank him. I thank him because I really didn't want to go to the hospital. They said, come back, they'll shoot the knee. And when Dr. Moshe Reed said, I'll shoot your knee, when he said that, I was like, yes, Lord, because I didn't want to go to nobody's hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meso Silver, M-E-S-O Silver. Okay. All right. So is there anyone else have something they would like to say this morning? If not, I will pray us out and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And I'm so happy to be back. Yes, Lord. Because I'm just used to it. You know, I'm used to getting up in the morning and having church. and I missed this, and I missed everybody. And on the roll call this morning, want to say good morning to everybody. Good morning to you over there, Sister Dorothy Goodman. I almost got up late myself because it was feeling so good to me this morning, but I knew I had to get up. Good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann and Sister Rose Brown and Sister Simone and Sister Melanie Rose. God bless you, Melanie. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I got both of your gifts. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Angela in California, and to Sister Laura. Happy New Year to everybody. Good morning, Mr. Mason and Miss Deborah and Sister Alexis and Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, again, Sister Jerry, good morning to you. Sister Angela Foote, good morning to you, and good morning, Mama. Sister Anna Lee Foote, God bless you. Happy New Year to everybody. And good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, and Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and our very own Apostle Claudia Boatwright this morning. Happy New Year to everybody. Good morning again, Brother Lewis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Cal, Brother Justin Gilmore. Happy New Year, Brother Gilmore. God bless you. I got your message. Brother Frank and Brother Marquez Griffin this morning. Good morning to each and everyone. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And God bless you. I don't think I left nobody out today. I hope not. And we just thank God. We just thank God that he's on our side and that we are seeking him and we want more of him. As the songwriter said, I need just a little more Jesus to help me along the way. And so I'm grateful unto Almighty God this morning. Brother Lewis says, silver is a super immune builder. And that's meso silver, M-E-S-O, silver. And the other one is C-O-L-L-O-I-D-A-L, silver. Yeah. So, yeah, you can get those things and take them every day, and that should build your immune system. I know what I eat build mine, and you know, it's rare that I even get a cold. Yeah. And some mornings it be cold because I turn the heat off and don't turn it back on. And I wake up and sit around a little bit and I feel my, I say, oh, no, 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 no. Turn some heat on and all of that go away. Uh-huh. And so I'm grateful unto the Lord and I'm thankful unto him today that he's on my side. I have a couple of phone calls to return this morning. Apostle Duncan, I'm going to make sure I call her today. And my son, Bishop A.L., he called me, so I'm going to make sure I return those calls today, and I have a couple of things to get done, but feel free to call me if you need to, if you want to, if you want to say Happy New Year, whatever the case may be, feel free. Okay, so it's pronounced colloidal, colloidal silver, colloidal silver. Okay, Brother Lewis, thank you so much, thank you so much. Make sure you get that zinc. Uh-huh, vitamin D, zinc, yeah, and the silver that Brother Lewis talking about, and that should help. He said, hey, Brother Jermaine. So, yeah.
Hey.
All right, I'm going to pray us out. We pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning again at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm going to play Brother Marquez's song at the end and accept what God allows. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that's been said and done. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, most of all, your love for us. Father, we thank you for bringing us up into this present time. Thank you for this new year. This year is going to be the best of my year, all starting right now, Father. We thank you that you're able to keep us safe. You're able to keep us with a sound mind. Father, you're able to use us in your service to be a blessing unto your people. We thank you that when we lift you up, you draw all men unto you. We thank you today for all you've done, what you're doing right now, what you're going to do. Father, we ask this morning that you would heal the sick, heal those that's with COVID and other ailments, Lord. We know you to be the great physician. You're the God that healeth thee. Heal your people this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask today that, Lord, you would bless widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people everywhere. Lord, bless preachers preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Bless our brothers and sisters overseas, Lord, those that are all in India. Bless today in the name of Jesus. And Father, continue to bless these United States of America and the leadership. And Father, have mercy this morning on those who are not being led by you. God, in leadership, have mercy this morning. Give them the right mind and the right heart concerning your people. And as we depart this morning, bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, remember Brother Mike this morning and Kim Hopps. God, I ask that you would heal that knee up. God, you know how to heal it. You made him. You know all about Mike today. Ease every pain. And Lord, let him walk like he's never been able to walk before. In the name of Jesus. For you're the great physician. You're the God that healeth thee. Again, Father, you made his knee. You know all about it. Do it today in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, January 10th, 2022, in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So at this time, I'm going to play Brother Marquez's dedication, Accept What God Allows. Hallelujah.
Dr. Clark, Twinkie and I were in Little Rock, Arkansas with Bishop L.T. Walker. Early one morning, I got a call. I was in Atlanta preaching for Reverend Jasper Williams, and Gloria called me. She said, sit down. I said, I'm going to preach right now. I'm on my way out the door. She said, sit down. I sat down and my wife told me, we were living in New Orleans at the time, four of our members had been killed in a wreck. I got angry with the Lord because I thought they were my best members. I had some others I thought he should have took. Y'all don't like the truth. These were some good members, Brother Sheard. I mean, solid people. I'm not talking about the tithe. I'm just talking about sweet, solid people. No hell-raising saints. And I couldn't understand, why would you take those four people at once? I put three people in one grave. I was upset with the Lord because I said, you took my members. And he said, clean, they're not yours, they're mine. I said, well, why did you take them? He said, I took them because they were ready. And I'm giving those others a chance to get right. So I called Twinkie, her and Dr. Clark were over at Bishop Walker's house. I said, Twinkie, I wrote these words. See what you can do with this. Accept.
Accept.
What God allows.
What God allows.
You're better off anyway.
You're better off. Anyway.
He will bring you out.
He'll bring you out.
And give you. What God allows.
What God allows. Even you, when you don't understand it, it's working for your good.
Accept every trial.
Accept every trial.
Accept it even now.
Accept it even now.
Give you a smile.
He'll give you.
Give you.
He'll give you a smile.
Mr. Swinkin. Put it.
Put it.
Put it.
Put it.
Put it in it.
In his hand.
He has the master plan.
He
your trial.
Your trial is on a stepping stone.
It will lead you.
It will lead you.
It will lead you.
Lead you.
Lead you.
Lead you.
No matter heavenly.
Heavenly.
God bless you, Dr. Matty Moss-Clark. We love you. to hit that note, Twinkie. Y'all want her to hit that note. They want to hit that note, Twinkie. They want you to hit that note, Twinkie. And we gonna dance. We gonna up. We gonna praise God before we get this blessing. Cause some of y'all gonna get a big breakthrough before you get home. When I count to three, I want you to say thank God for my blessing. And just go for it. Y'all gonna do so. 1, 2, 3.
Every trial, except this even now. He'll give you a smile. Would it anything? Okay, you're off today. Okay. Put it in his hand.